cast their nets on the right side of the boat. And they did, you're familiar with this. And as they brought it to shore, he was already there and had the fire prepared and fishes. And the message was, come and dine. That's the invitation to us as his children, to come and dine. And, you know, he did some teaching there at that time, too. He reminded old Peter of some things, didn't he? But continue on here in Matthew chapter 9. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? You know, the rulers of the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees, seemed to be particularly troubled when they saw the Lord with sinners. Mm-hmm. Those that they deemed to be not fit for their company, and questioned on many occasions his time that he spent with them. Jesus heard that. Now, he knew what they were going to say before they said it, but for us it says he heard that. He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Go ye and learn what that meaneth. You know, brothers and sisters, we should be mindful the Scripture teaches us so much. That our Lord Himself, God manifest in flesh, you know, the one that spoke the world into existence. The one that was without spot, without blemish, there was no guile found in His mouth. Holy and harmless, undefiled. This one came into this world, brothers and sisters, to save us, publicans and sinners.
That's right.
The forgiveness that He's extended to you and I through His offering of Himself. And He teaches us here that again, He came in this world not for those that are whole. Of course, Christ knew that none of them were whole. What He's talking about is those that recognized that they weren't whole.
Right.
And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, as we travel, I think the lesson I get out of this is something I see in many places in Scripture. We're going to try to be mindful of time, not spend a lot of your time this afternoon, let Brother Mark come on, but that we ourselves not be, you know, what position should we take as we read this? Should we be like the Pharisees and the scribes who wondered how are they enduring the company of sinners, those that are sick? Or should we be mindful to try to heal those that are sick?
Right.
I'm not aware. There may be some medical doctors in the building. I'm not sure of that. And Christ Himself cured all manner of diseases and illnesses. There's nothing beyond His power. But we ourselves today, are we careful to disassociate ourselves from those that may be suffering from some sickness? Now, there wasn't anybody dead there. Those He was talking about were those that were sick. He says, go ye and learn what that meaneth. He says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And He instructed those Pharisees and the scribes to go and learn what that means. And it's easy for us to read that scripture right there and just think it applies to just those Pharisees and those scribes. And we can continue reading. Well, I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, we'll just pause for a moment there and consider ourselves.
Amen.
You know, and there's two broad lessons here, and I'm going to try to stay on one. But He says, go ye and learn what that means. You know, there's a learning that comes from only from doing. Now, you need to have knowledge. You know, none of us would like to be operating on a doctor that had never been to medical school. Or take your car to a mechanic that had never been trained in that. You need to have knowledge, but there's a learning that only comes from the application of that knowledge in action. You wouldn't also probably want to be that doctor's first patient, would you? You'd like to have him to have a little experience. There are things, brothers and sisters, that we only learn by doing, that we the application of knowledge in those things that we do. And I can tell you, Brother Chase, that's where the joy, that's where the blessing comes in the doing. He told His apostles after He had washed their feet, says, I, your master, have washed your feet. You ought to wash one another's feet. He says, if you know these things, happy are you if you know them. You know, he said, happy are you if you do them. The blessing in the doing.
Right.
The exercise. We are, you know, the Bible talks so much about forgiveness. And many times we think that, well, there's just a sequence of events here. There's sin. There's forgiveness. And, you know, following that, there could be repentance. And then there could be restoration.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times old carnal man says, well, I'll forgive them if they apologize. Mm-hmm. You know, brother so-and-so hadn't apologized. You know, brother and sister, the standard of the forgiveness in your heart. Mm-hmm. You know, we're taught to forgive. What did the Lord teach us in that prayer, that example prayer?
Amen.
You know, oh boy, that's a, you ever pray that? Really think about what we're saying?
That's right.
Lord, you forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those that trespass against me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we do that, we do okay, but then someone offends us again, and we say, well, I've already forgiven them once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Peter asked the Lord that. Peter was going to get back under that law, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. My brother sinned against me. How many times must I forgive him? Seven times? And I said, no, Peter, seven times 70, and don't start counting to 490 now when somebody troubles you. He's just teaching that there's not a limit to that. That we are taught to forgive as we've been forgiven. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible teaches us that we should do good unto all men, but especially unto the household of faith. I want you to understand that we have a particular obligation in the way that we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
You know, in our intentions, when we see someone that is struggling with life, when we see somebody that may have stumbled off of that straight and narrow path, we may find someone in our journey that we find has been beaten up by thieves and they're laying in the ditch. What should we do? Should we go over and stand over the ditch and say, you know, I don't know how you got in the ditch, but that's your problem. Or do we go over there and say, well, you know, if you hadn't been traveling this stretch of road, you wouldn't have got in trouble.
Mm.
Or do we follow the example that we're given? Do we go to them? Do we bind up their wounds? Do we take them to a place of care and do whatever's within our ability to restore them so they can travel again? You know, our lives as disciples is journeys.
Mm.
You know, when we're born again in the Spirit, then it's time for us to travel. The children of Israel, when they were delivered out of Egypt, they were told, you be ready. You be dressed. You have your staff. You have your sandals. You be ready to travel because there's a destination for you. And isn't it a wonderful thing when God's children start to walk? Even as natural parents, how many of you remember the joy you felt when your child took the first step?
Amen.
Wasn't that a wonderful thing? But you know, sometimes they fail, right? Sometimes they got where they could walk pretty good, but they walked in places that weren't good for them. If you love them, what do? Try to draw them back in, don't you?
Yeah, that's right.
If you see that they're sick, they need a physician. The Bible gives us a few very, very good examples of how we should treat each other. And I just want to turn to a few and we're going to... You know, brothers and sisters, when someone sins, the Bible teaches us how we're to react to that. We're to forgive them out of our heart. Now, you know, we're human beings, and you're going to carry around some things. But our desire should be to forgive that brother or sister as the Lord has forgiven us. And pray that there be repentance. You know, pray that the Lord would give them a repentant heart to turn from those things. Counsel, encourage, do whatever we can to bring about repentance. And if repentance occurs, then we're to restore such a one.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, forgiveness is not conditional. Restoration is conditional on repentance.
Right.
Forgiveness isn't conditional on repentance.
Amen.
You know, brothers and sisters, that's to be given without repentance. See, Paul's letter to Colossians in chapter 3, teaching the church. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God. You want to put on some things that make people recognize you, one of your father's children? Mm-hmm. Put on, you know, he talks about some things. There's some things to put on, and there's some things to put off. This is one of those things for you to put on. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. It's a pretty good lesson, isn't it? Forbearing one another, forgiving one another, vows of mercy, kindness, these things that we are instructed to treat with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We go to the book of Ephesians, you'll then to chapter 4. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, I found that things that are really important are in the Bible more than once. I actually find doctrinal points where you see the Apostle Paul, where he's teaching us a doctrinal point. The way I describe it to the folks at Tuscaloosa, it's the way I hammer. I'm not a very good carpenter. Once I hit a nail and get it flush, I have to hit it two more times to make sure it's seated good. Paul was teaching a lecture there in Romans chapter 9. He got three really good examples to teach the sovereignty of God in that choice. And you'll see throughout the Bible in Romans chapter 3, you'd think that he covered depravity pretty good in a couple of those verses. Boy, he just keeps hammering it, doesn't he? Forgiveness is all through the Bible, brothers and sisters. You want to honor the Lord? We see in Galatians chapter 6, first verse, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault... Now, there's a lot of teaching here. If a man be overtaken in the fault, he wasn't talking about you running down to the Walmart and looking around for people that are misbehaving. He's talking about your brothers and sisters, those that you love, those that you have a kinship relationship. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Now, they just qualified it right there. That doesn't mean everybody. Time for a little self-inspection. Ye which are spiritual, do what? What's the objective? When you go to that one that's in the fault, what's the goal? Is it to condemn him? A lot of people say, well, you shouldn't judge folks. Let me tell you, you should judge people's actions. And there's some things, and someone said, well, you don't have the right to do that judgment. Our goal is to apply God's judgment. God has already judged things that are right and wrong. It's for us to apply the judgment of God. And you know, that judgment don't change, Brother Chase. It's the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. It'll be the same 2,000 years from now as it is today. But the goal should be in to restore. Restore such one, how? In the spirit of meekness. You know, God is just amazing. You look at the wisdom of God. And he's given us instructions around restoring a brother. The fellowship and the blessings. You know, bringing him back in the efforts to which we should go. When the Lord gives us that parable about the 99 and the 1. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can read through the different verses there. And he left the 99 to get the one sheep that had gone astray. And I can't remember which one of the Gospels it describes it this way. Now, how did he bring him back to the fold? Did he go to that one out there and just scold him and say, well, find your way back? Did he go out there and throw a rope around his neck and drag him back? Did he take a stick and beat him back in the flock? One of the Gospels says that he carried him on his back, on his shoulders, brought him in. That's a pretty good lesson for us right there, brothers and sisters. Goes on in Galatians. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. I tell you, brothers and sisters, the spirit of meekness is a medicine that they need there.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean to forbear judgment. It doesn't mean to rewrite God's word about what's right and wrong, but the way in which you approach one in a spirit of meekness, so that, you know, that sheep that had gone astray was brought back by one with a spirit of meekness. And it says, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, that's another reason that we need to go in the spirit of meekness. It's not just for that one.
Right.
It's for us.
Amen.
You know, that we ourselves don't become lifted up in our own mind. And we start to say, well, you know, that was a little bit too sick. That's a sinner right there. I don't believe that one's worthy of my care and attention. If it's worthy of the Lord's, it's worthy of ours, is it not? And then he follows that up with a verse kind of where I wanted to get to. He says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Amen.
It talks a little about burdens. You go down there a little bit in verse 5. It says, for every man shall bear his own burden. I just tell you, basically, no one can serve the Lord for you. That's a burden that you have to bear. Mom and dad can't serve the Lord for you.
Amen.
Brother Paul can't serve the Lord for you. There are things, if you've been called as a disciple of Christ, that are yours to do. There's a burden for you to bear of discipleship and whatever your call and your journey and your walk might be. Be reminded that he bore the burden that nobody, none of us could bear on Calvary.
Amen.
But he's telling us here to bear ye one another's burdens and do something. So fulfill the law of Christ. You know, they asked Jesus one time, of all the commandments, what's the greatest one? He said, well, this is the greatest. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And there's a second one, and it's likened unto the first. He said, you love your neighbor as yourself. I tell you, brothers and sisters, he wasn't just talking about having kind thoughts of the person that lives in the house next to you.
Right.
First off, I don't believe that's a neighbor he's talking about.
Amen.
I think he's talking about a kinsman. He's talking about one of your brothers
that's
and
right.
sisters in Christ. To love your neighbor as yourself. And so, I believe that's the law of Christ that he was talking about. You bear you one another's burdens and you fulfill that law. You want to show that you love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind? You want to demonstrate that? You want to prove that? Then you bear the burdens of your brothers and sisters. You love your neighbor
Amen.
As yourself. See, that's an active thing. That's in that doing. And that, you know, that's something that requires some learning. You may start off perfect at it. I'll just tell you right now, it was a hard thing for me to learn how to do.
Right.
And I don't know how far along I've gotten on that. I tell you, brothers and sisters, to put this on carnal nature side and on every opportunity that we have to bear each other's burdens, to help us each other along the journey of life. We find one of God's children that's suffering the afflictions of this world, that we not be quick to cast them aside, that we don't go and judge them with finality, but we go with the purpose of restoring them. It's you know, there's a very special instruction to the ministers on that, isn't it?
Amen.
And Paul taught Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, the servant of the Lord must not strive. You know, he's talking about the spirit of meekness. Must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure, God perhaps, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth.
Amen.
You know, we go and instruct them in their error, in a spirit of meekness, with the intentions that they might be restored. And then we pray that God would give them that spirit of repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. It says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. It says, let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another, and every man shall bear his own burden. You know, he goes down just a couple verses there, and he says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, we know that that applies to, in a general sense, to our lives as disciples. We know that we'll reap in the season in the field in which we sow.
Amen.
He says before us blessings and cursings. I think in this case there's a specific application and lesson to the way that we treat those that are sick, those that need a physician, those among us, brothers and sisters, that need bandaged up and need tended, need balm applied to them, need love applied to them, need counseling applied to them, and that we be long-suffering with them. You know, God's long-suffering with us, and He's not forever suffering. Do these things and fulfill the law of Christ. If we really want to, if we really have the love of God in our heart and we desire to serve Him, we're mindful of that commandment to love Him with all of our heart, all our soul, and all of our mind, then let's act like that.
Right.
Let's do those things that God's Word instructs us to do. You know, it's interesting to me, though, maybe a little bit more than interesting. That's not a real strong word. You know, when we see in Matthew 25 where probably the Lord has given us a picture of that final judgment. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And I'm sure we're all firm and not confused that, you know, one of those is, it's kind of that family of Esau, and one of that's that kind of family of Jacob there.
Yeah.
Those sheep that He loved before the foundation of the world that He came in here to suffer and bleed and die for. He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then it describes some things that may seem a little bit odd, maybe even a little out of place.
Yeah.
It says, for I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. You know, brothers and sisters, those are truly characteristics of sheep.
Right.
Those aren't things that made them sheep. They didn't become sheep through those actions. But those are actions that are characteristics. Those are things that are traits of sheep.
Right.
Just think about what He said. Every one of those things, there was two things. There was pairs. There was a need. And then there was an action to place that need.
Right.
I was hungry. And you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. And brothers and sisters, when the Lord Himself is describing those things that He desires to see in His sheep.
Amen. That's right.
That when one is lame or sick or hurt or discouraged, whatever that case might be, that we go to them as the great physician would, with whatever we can to heal them. And, you know, they answer back, well, Lord, when did we do these things? And the King shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Think about that for a moment.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
In ministering to His children, in a sense, it's as if you minister unto Him. You know why? Because we are His body.
Right.
He's the head, and we're the body of Christ. And let's be mindful of these things. When we have one of God's children that has sinned, and if we forgive them in our heart, if the Lord grants them repentance, and they desire to come and be returned to the fold, let's be like the father of that son was and not like the brother.
Amen.
You know, that ought to be a time for rejoicing. Mm-hmm. That's not a time for 50 questions. You know, the Father didn't ask him where he'd been, did he? He didn't ask him what all he'd been doing. He didn't tell him, so you just stay out here for a little while. Come back in a week or two. We're going to check. What did he do? Now, there was evidence there of repentance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And there's some things that we are instructed by God's Word to do. But let's make sure, brothers and sisters, that we are err on the side of being long-suffering and patient. Amen. And tender-hearted and kind and trying to help each other bear the burden of this life. You know, I've been around the church long enough, I unfortunately have seen cases when it seemed like that rather than make the statement that the Lord said that I'll have mercy. Mm-hmm. You know, don't we like to get mercy?
Amen.
Don't you like to get mercy? Do you like to be merciful just as well? That's a good question. Mm-hmm. Do you like to extend mercy as well as you like to receive it? God teaches us that. God blesses our prayer. Come on, Brother Mark.